Hi, my name is Eloise, and welcome to episode 15 of the Take Me to the World Musical Theater Podcast. Before we start, some quick announcements. In this episode, I'll be discussing the musical Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber, Fleet Street. This musical deals with some disturbing subject matter, including but not limited to sexual assault, child abuse, violence, murder, and cannibalism. This episode brings up all of these points, the last two quite a bit. So if this sounds like it might be triggering for you, perhaps this is an episode of this podcast to skip or to listen to at another time when you feel safe and emotionally capable to do so. Sometimes I swear because musicals fucking rule, and that includes this musical. It's one of my favorites. In this episode, I'll refer to the musical Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street as just Sweeney Todd. The character of Sweeney Todd I'll either refer to by his first name Sweeney or by his last name Todd. This episode has major spoilers for Sweeney Todd. If you haven't seen this musical, there are two different movie versions you could watch. There's a 1982 filmed on stage version starring George Hearn as Sweeney and Angela Lansbury as Mrs. Lovett. There's also the 2007 Tim Burton movie adaptation with Johnny Depp as Sweeney and Helena Bonham Carter as Mrs. Lovett. There are differences between the movie adaptation and stage production, like there is for any movie adaptation of a musical, but for this podcast, watching either one will be fine. You can find links to watch these films, as well as links to listen to the cast recordings or soundtracks for Sweeney Todd, on the resource page for this episode. Go to my blog, takemetotheworld.com, click on the word podcast at the top, and go to episode 15. That's this episode. You can also listen to past episodes, and you can subscribe to this podcast here as well. Finally, I'm not a musical theater expert, especially in the subject I'll be talking about today. I'm just a musical theater enthusiast. I might get some things wrong. Don't take this episode as the definitive guide for the subject I'll be talking about today. This episode is going to be the first in a series, and I use this term loosely, on what I'm referring to as visual elements in musicals. I'll define that in a bit. There will be several episodes in the series, but this isn't one where you need to watch all the previous episodes to understand the next one. You can start at whatever episode you want, and that will be fine. In fact, this isn't a series where I'm planning to do all the episodes right after the other. I'll bring in another episode of the series when I feel like doing one. For future episodes of the series, I'll get into the topic at hand right away. This whole preamble that I'm including here about the series and the definition of visual elements that I'll get into soon, I won't include. Instead, I'll let the listener know to come back to the beginning part of this episode if they want more information, and I'll be sure to include timestamps. Visual elements. What do I mean by this term? Well, this is a very broad term that I'm using to refer to the visual elements that you see when watching a musical on stage or film. Now, visual element isn't some official definition or theater terminology. It's also not something I always know a lot about, meaning some of these episodes will be quite research intensive for me, which is why I'm not planning to do all of them right away. I'm not really a very visual person. With musicals, I tend to focus on the music or on the narrative aspects of the story and show, and those things are in my wheelhouse. This is definitely not. But here's the thing. Musicals are a visual medium, ideally meant to be watched on stage or on screen, and I think it's important to talk about these visual elements. I want to stress that for the purpose of this series, I'm only talking about the visual things you see when watching a musical. It doesn't refer to the art design for playbills, posters, or other merchandise. Visual elements will likely vary from one production of a musical to another, so this isn't meant to be some comprehensive guide for whatever visual element I'll be discussing. Nor is this series a ranking on which visual element is the best. Some of these visual elements I know a bit about, others not so much. Some of these are going to be pretty definitive and easy to see, and others are a little bit more abstract. The episodes of this series will focus on the following visual elements. Some episodes I might cover more than one. So we have props, costumes, hair and makeup, set design slash scenery slash location, the latter is more for movie musicals being filmed on location, lighting, special effects, which might not happen for every show, choreography slash movement, and staging slash blocking. In particular with the series, I want to talk about how these visual elements help enhance our understanding of the musical setting, character development, plot, which can include foreshadowing but doesn't have to, and theme. Not every visual element will necessarily hit all four of these points for each musical. For some episodes of the series, I'll use examples from more than one musical. Other episodes, like today's, I'll just focus on one. And while I don't usually talk about film musicals with this series, I am going to include some movie musicals because film is a visual medium. I recognize visual elements are going to vary from a stage production of a musical to a movie adaptation. Something like lighting is probably going to be pretty different from stage to film, but costumes could be pretty similar, although they probably won't be exactly the same. Also, I know live theater isn't the easiest thing to see right now just with current world circumstances, and I want to include some film musicals, whether they're adaptations or film live on stage, so you can see the musicals I'll be talking about. For the first episode of this series, the visual element I want to discuss is props, known formally as theatrical property. I'll just be calling them props because that's the shorthand most people know. A prop refers to any kind of movable physical object on stage or on film that's distinct from the performers. It's also separate from the staging or set design. Furniture isn't considered a prop, it's considered part of the set design. Props aren't part of the costumes, nor are they any kind of electrical equipment, which would be included in things like lighting or maybe special effects. I'll talk about those other visual elements in future episodes of this series. Props are used in some form in most musicals, but for this episode, I'm just going to talk about one prop and one musical, because it gives us information about the setting, character, plot, and theme of the show. The prop I'll be discussing for this episode are the Razors and Sweeney Todd. Something to note is that any visual element of a show can't be entirely analyzed on its own in separate context from the show itself. The Razors on stage in Sweeney Todd don't tell us much until the characters sing or talk about them, or until the razors are used. No one can look at this prop on its own without the context of the show, and understand that one of the themes of Sweeney Todd is the corruption of power within social hierarchies in Victorian-era England, because you can't know that just by seeing this prop. The way the razors give us information about one thing like the plot of the show, it might overlap to something else like character development. I've seen the stage musical of Sweeney Todd once several years ago. However, the 2007 movie adaptation I've seen several times. So I'm going to use this movie adaptation as a reference for this episode. There are differences between the stage production and the movie adaptation of this musical, some that I'll note where it's relevant. But the way the razors are used is pretty much the same. They showcase similar information about character, setting, plot, and theme. So as I mentioned before, whichever version of Sweeney Todd you want to watch, that's all good. I do recommend watching this musical before listening to the rest of this episode, because this is just a great fucking musical. It's so good. If you don't want to watch the show and just want to listen to this episode, I'll give you a brief overview. I'll go into more details about the plot later. Sweeney Todd is a mostly sung through musical, with music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim and book by Hugh Wheeler. It's a story of Benjamin Barker, now going by the name Sweeney Todd, who years ago worked as a barber above Mrs. Lovett's pie shop in London. Todd was married to his wife Lucy and had a baby daughter Joanna. One day his life was turned upside down when the evil and corrupt Judge Turpin decided he wanted to be with Lucy. Turpin and his colleague Beadle Bamford, a Beadle was a church officer of the time, sends Todd away on false charges to a penal colony in Australia. Todd escapes and is saved out at sea by a young sailor named Anthony. Todd and Anthony travel back to London, and Todd goes to Mrs. Lovett's pie shop. There he learns from Mrs. Lovett that his wife was publicly sexually assaulted by Turpin and then poisoned herself. Todd also learns his daughter Joanna was adopted by Turpin. Todd swears vengeance on Turpin and Bamford, but soon his need for revenge has him killing all sorts of people, not just the Beadle and Judge. To hide the bodies of his victims, Todd and Mrs. Lovett butcher them and put them into Mrs. Lovett's meat pies, serving them to unsuspecting customers. While I'm not talking about the art, design, and merchandise of a musical in this series, I do want to note something. If there's a prop or any visual element from a musical featured on the show's merchandise, whether that's the playbill, a program, CD, album cover, t-shirt, etc., that visual element is going to be important in the show. It's a representation of the show itself, but it might also represent the main character or a central thematic idea. For Sweeney Todd, when you look at the 1979 original Broadway cast playbill, there's a caricature depicting Sweeney Todd with a razor with blood dripping from it, and one of Mrs. Lovett with the rolling pin. If there's going to be an object to represent Mrs. Lovett, it'll probably be the rolling pin because she's baking or a depiction of her infamous meat pies, but in any case, the razors are an important part of Sweeney Todd, the musical, and we already get a glimpse of this from the artwork on the show's merchandise. Let's talk about the razors in Sweeney Todd as a function of setting, which can include the time/location the musical takes place, as well as setting the tone for the show. So a little history. Sweeney as a character was first introduced in an 1846 Penny Dreadful story called A String of Pearls. Penny Dreadfuls were mass-published stories that were often gothic in nature. They were tales of pirates, highwaymen, murderers, etc. Now, the musical doesn't give us a specific date when it's set, but from the costumes, props, and set design, we can infer it probably takes place in Victorian-era London. The London part we know because of the songs No Place Like London and Worst Pies in London. Can we get a specific date? No, and I don't think that's imperative to understanding this musical. We have a general idea of the time in regards to setting, and that's good enough. The razors used in the show are a straight razor. These were the kinds of razors used in barbershops of this time period, and straight razors can still be used in licensed barbershops today, though it's not really as common for people to go get a shave with a straight razor. Much of the show takes place in the barbershop, showcasing another aspect of setting. Place doesn't just refer to the city of London, but to this barbershop within the city. This isn't the only place in the musical, but it's an important aspect of the show. Now, I'm sure the prop itself is a fake razor for safety reasons. For professional productions of Sweeney Todd, they might use a prop razor with a handle where the blade can fold into it. For community theaters or amateur productions, it's probably going to be a fake knife that might not be the most historically accurate representation of an 18th century barber's razor. But we can see the razor in the barbershop, Todd is a barber, the musical is called Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, and so we can infer that they are barber's razors. When it comes to props, it doesn't matter how detailed they are. On stage, there will be audience members at the back of the theater who won't be able to see intricate details of the prop itself. A person can't look at the style of razor and go, oh yes, it's common knowledge that this style of razor was made between 1820 and 1885. Because that's not the point, and also that's not common knowledge and the prop is fake. But we can go razors plus barber chair plus basin equals barbershop. And the title of the show, again, gives us some clues. We get a general idea of setting from this prop. The movie adaptation is a bit different because with film we get to see more details of the razors because, you know, the camera. Is this vital to understanding their purpose? Not really, but it's another detail film can do that theater cannot. That's not saying film is better, just that it's different. Setting to me also refers to the tone of a show or story, and I think the Razors show this as well. They are Chase Silver, as we learned from Mrs. Lovett before the song My Friends, and chasing just means a design would have been hammered or embossed on the handles. To me, a razor is a cold piece of metal, a precise instrument that, in the right skilled hands, could give someone a nice shave. In the hands of vengeance-driven Sweeney Todd, it becomes a murderous weapon. This lets us know the tone of the show is going to be a little bit dark, cold, and mechanical. Not exactly a happy-go-lucky type of musical. Let's look at the razors as a function of character, because these razors symbolize Todd as a character, and they also symbolize his relationship to others and the world at large. The razors belong to Todd, and they are tied to his past when he worked as a barber above Mrs. Lovett's pie shop. The song My Friends, which is this character's I Want song, and you can learn more about I Want songs in episode 7 of this podcast, is when he sings to the razors, calling them my friends. With lines like, soon you'll drip precious rubies, it's pretty easy to see what Todd wants to do. We might not know the exact plan, but we know Todd wants revenge against Judge Turpin and Beetle Bamford, and the razors are going to be part of that plan. We first get a depiction of how these razors represent Todd as a character at the end of this song. At this point, Todd extends his arm with a razor in hand and says, at last my arm is complete again. These razors are Todd, and throughout the show at first, his plan for revenge against Judge Turpin and Beetle Bamford is in some ways understandable. Obviously, I'm not justifying murder or the cannibalism that happens, but Todd can't go to the law for justice, as Judge Turpin is a member of the law and is corrupt. As well, if Turpin finds out that Todd is alive, he's either going to send him back to the penal colony in Australia, or he's going to have him executed. Nor can he go to the church because of the Beetle. The character represents the church and its corruption. Basically, through the action of these characters, this musical is showing us the corruption of the law and religious institutions within the show. And many people might even say today in our own society, though that's another discussion for another time. Eventually, Todd decides that everybody is corrupt and deserves to die. Even you, Mrs. Lovett, even I, he sings an epiphany. Now, I should make it clear, the razors aren't some sentient object telling Todd to murder. We hear no disembodied voice saying, take me and slice everyone's throats. But one of the differences between the stage version of Sweeney Todd and the movie adaptation that's worth noting for this podcast episode is the stage version has a sort of Greek chorus, which is a group of performers who aren't the main characters in the show, commenting or, in this case, singing about the action going on. In songs like Prelude, we hear the chorus sing, swing your razor wide, Sweeney, hold it to the sky. Freely flows the blood of those who moralize. In the first ballad, the chorus sings, lift your razors high, Sweeney, hear it singing yes, sink it in the rosy skin of righteousness. Now, the movies don't have this Greek chorus or the ballads, but it's pretty easy to figure out Todd's mindset is, let's say, not very stable when he's holding a razor singing about this object being his friend, or in a song like Epiphany when he sings that everybody deserves to die. Now, I love the ballads in the original cast recording a lot, but I know the razors and how they symbolize Todd as a character are pretty easy to figure out when you watch the movie as well. But in the stage production, there is this extra element of the chorus just reiterating that the razors maybe not literally singing kill the people, but in Todd's mind they might as well be. And in My Friends, Todd personifies the razors with lines like, see this one shine, how he smiles in the light, my friend, my faithful friend. Because Todd can't trust people, but the razors, he can trust them. He knows these tools well. I talked about how the razors represent Todd as a character, but I also said they represent his relationship to other characters. And it does represent his relationship to pretty much all the characters in the show, but I'm going to focus on the relationship between Todd and Mrs. Lovett. So, before the events of the show, Todd was sent away to a penal colony in Australia when his daughter was just a baby, maybe a year or two old. In the show, Joanna is 16 or 17-ish, meaning Todd's been away for about 15 years. In the movie, they actually say it's been 15 years. I can't remember if the stage musical mentions this as well in a specific context. But in any case, that entire time, Mrs. Lovett has been keeping the razors upstairs in the barbershop in a case hidden away in the floorboards. We don't have any indication that Mrs. Lovett knew Todd was going to escape and return back to the shop in London one day. And in the song The Worst Pies in London, we learn that times is hard. And Mrs. Lovett makes some awful meat pies as good cuts of meat are expensive. In the original 1979 production, Mrs. Lovett was played by Dame Angela Lansbury, who was 54 at the time. I'm not saying the character is that exact age, but since Todd has been away for 15 years, Mrs. Lovett, at the bare minimum, might be in her late 30s, but is likely closer to her 40s or maybe even early 50s. And in this time period, Victorian era London, a single middle-aged widowed woman, she mentions her late husband Albert in the musical, who doesn't seem to have any family or friends, well, times probably are really hard. Before women had the right to vote or were even considered persons, before it was even common for women to be running a business, Mrs. Lovett is running this pie shop by herself. The razors are nice silver razors, and Mrs. Lovett mentions they have chased silver handles. They seem to be in good condition. The fact Mrs. Lovett kept the razors for all that time while Todd was gone, hidden away, symbolizes the way she protects Todd. When Todd first comes back to Mrs. Lovett's pie shop, he does so hoping that he might have a wife and daughter to reunite with. When Mrs. Lovett tells him about Lucy poisoning herself and Joanna being adopted by Turpin, Todd realizes that that dream is over. And so, Todd sets his sight on revenge, and Mrs. Lovett is there by his side, encouraging him and helping him in his murder plans. In the show, the first victim that Todd kills is Adolfo Pirelli. I'll get more into the plot point of this later. But Mrs. Lovett is the one to come up with the idea to butcher the body and to use it for her meat pies. Toby is a young boy who was working with Pirelli at the time. Toby has suspicions about Todd from the beginning. Near the end of the show, Toby realizes Todd definitely has something to do with Pirelli's disappearance. When Toby tells Mrs. Lovett they need to go to the law, she sends him down to the bakehouse to show him how to bake the pies, and then locks him in there. And it's clear Mrs. Lovett has a soft spot for Toby, and she has protected him from Todd's wrath a few times. But when it comes down to it, Mrs. Lovett sides with Sweeney and will choose him over anybody else every time. Now, is this a healthy relationship? Fuck no. But Mrs. Lovett cares for Todd in her own toxic way. Mrs. Lovett not parting with these razors for 15 years lets the audience know that Todd means something to her. In the movie, she even mentions she could have sold them but didn't, just reiterating this idea. Mrs. Lovett doesn't seem to keep anything of Lucy's, and in the movie version, we see a doll of Joanna's hiding under the blanket in the crib. The doll is worn, but it seems the doll wasn't something Mrs. Lovett held on to for sentimental reasons. Also, quick aside, in the movie, we can also see the doll as a representation of Joanna, since it was her doll as an infant, and there's a nice bit of foreshadowing because near the end of the musical, Joanna's also upstairs in the barbershop hiding from Todd. Literally just figured that out after the 20th time watching this movie. But Mrs. Lovett keeping those razors under the floorboard, hiding them, shows that she values Todd and will protect him at all costs. But Todd, he doesn't value Mrs. Lovett in the same way she values him. Like his razors, he sees Mrs. Lovett as a tool to help him get revenge, and nothing more. So in regards to plot, in Sweeney Todd, the razors are integral to drive the action of the plot. Now, you might think, could Sweeney Todd have killed Judge Turpin and Beadle Bamford without a razor? And I say no. He needed those razors and his skills as a barber to set the trap for Judge Turpin. He has a shave-off contest with barber Adolfo Pirelli on the streets with a large crowd watching that Beadle Bamford judges in the song The Contest. And this is to show the Beadle what a skilled barber Todd is. Todd wants the Beadle to recommend Todd as a barber to Judge Turpin, and this is exactly what happens after Judge Turpin tells the Beadle that he's going to marry Joanna to protect her, which I shouldn't have to say, but will say, is all sorts of fucked up. Like, if you thought the judge was not so bad before, there's no excuse now, but also Judge Turpin was evil and corrupt beforehand, so no excuses. Todd doesn't want to just hide behind a tree and shoot Judge Turpin with a pistol as he's coming out of court. As a character in this musical, the judge is in a position of power and is a representation of the law. As mentioned before, Todd can't go to the law for legal recourse because this musical shows us that the law is corrupt, nor can Todd go to the church because Beadle Bamford is a representation of the church and this musical is showing us through that character that this institution is corrupt too. Todd doesn't want to just give these men a quick, painless death, which arguably he does for most of the people he murders, minus Mrs. Lovett and Pirelli. He wants them to suffer, more so for Turpin. Todd knows the most satisfying way to kill them is to get both Judge and Beadle to come to his barbershop for a shave and slice their throats. The first attempt to kill Judge Turpin in Act 1 doesn't go well when Anthony pops in, Todd's sailor friend. See, Anthony had spotted Joanna from her window. Judge Turpin also keeps her locked away like a bird, which is another symbol for Joanna. Even her song Green Finch and Linnet Bird is her wondering why the birds sing even when they're caged. Turpin sees age appropriate for Joanna Anthony staring at his ward, invites Anthony inside, and proceeds to threaten him and beat him by way of the Beadle, telling him to never set eyes on Joanna again. Judge Turpin comes into Sweeney for a shave and then sees Anthony burst in right before Todd's about to slash his throat, and Turpin tells Todd he's never coming back because of the company he keeps. Then Todd snaps, yelling for Anthony to get out. Todd picks up a razor and sings the completely, wonderfully deranged and dissonant song Epiphany, where he goes from yelling that they all deserve to die to crying over the fates of Lucy and Joanna. After this, Mrs. Lovett gets Todd to calm down and then asks him what they should do about Pirelli. So after winning the contest, Pirelli came upstairs to Todd's barbershop and tells him that he knows Todd is Benjamin Barker and threatens to extort Todd or he'll go to the judge and tell him the truth. so Todd kills Pirelli to protect himself and to keep enacting his revenge. With Pirelli's body upstairs, Todd says they can bury it when it gets dark. Mrs. Lovett makes the suggestion that maybe they can put Pirelli in some meat pies. Seems an awful waste, she tells him. With this, Todd kills his unsuspecting customers, and then he and Mrs. Lovett butcher the body for the meat pies, which become a hit with customers. By the end of the show, Todd has killed everyone, except Anthony, Joanna, and Toby, who we can see as the young and arguably more innocent characters. All who die except Pirelli and Mrs. Lovett perish by Todd's razors. Well, I guess technically Pirelli's killed with a razor after Todd beats him unconscious with a boiling tea kettle first. It's obvious the razors play a pretty important part of the plot, and after Todd kills Judge Turpin pretty violently by stabbing him in the throat several times, not the typical throat slice Todd does on most of his victims, Sweeney sings a short reprise of My Friends. The lyrics, "Rest now, my friend, rest now forever, sleep the untroubled sleep of the angels," means at this point Sweeney Todd has finished the task he intended, and his razors slash friends can be put away. But the razors represent Todd as a character, and while he may be done with them, the razors aren't done killing. No, Sweeney doesn't kill his final victim, Mrs. Lovett, with a razor. He shoves her into the bakehouse oven. But Toby, who was hiding from Todd and Mrs. Lovett in the bakehouse, sees Todd push Mrs. Lovett into the oven, burning her alive. Toby only knows Mrs. Lovett is a nice lady who gives him gin, a job, and treats him much better than Pirelli did, or better than he'd be treated at a workhouse of the time. So Toby slices Todd's throat, ending this cycle of revenge. When Todd sung that his razor's friends can rest, we can take this to mean two things, both of which are or become true. He can rest from his need for revenge because he's killed the men who wronged him 15 years ago. He can be put to rest, aka killed, because his need for revenge took over his life, ending any chance he would have at a happy life. It might be obvious, but one of the themes of Sweeney Todd is a cautionary tale to be careful what you wish for, and that revenge might not be worth its cost. Todd was so preoccupied with his need to kill the judge and Beetle that he ends up killing or destroying everyone he loves or who loved him. In the show, there is the character known as the Beggar Woman, who just seems to be a houseless lady with some untreated mental illness, going around telling people Mrs. Lovett is the devil's wife and complaining about the smell from the pie shop. The audience knows the Beggar Woman is kind of right because of all the murders and baking people into meat pies. After Todd kills the Beetle, the Beggar Woman comes into the barbershop singing and dancing around about the Beetle. Todd comes in and she asks, "Hey, don't I know you, mister?" Todd doesn't recognize her and he kills her because Judge Turpin is about to arrive. It's only later in the bakehouse that Todd realizes who this Beggar Woman really is. His wife Lucy. Mrs. Lovett tells Todd she never lied, and she doesn't say Lucy died, but Todd assumed that, and Mrs. Lovett doesn't correct him. I guess I'm veering a little bit off the theme for a second, but I think it's kind of interesting that Mrs. Lovett's death is the only one not by razor. It shows us the changing, and let's be honest, hella toxic relationship between these two characters. And once again, it shows that Todd does not have any fondness for Mrs. Lovett, where she had that for him. Not to get into the mind of a demon barber, but Todd, it seems like slitting Mrs. Lovett's throat would be, let's not say kindness, but maybe a little bit more humane way to die than burning alive. So Sweeney Todd gets his revenge, but at a cost I would say isn't worth it. And Todd also ruins any chance of a happy life with Joanna as well. In the show, Turpin had sent Joanna away to an insane asylum when she obviously refused his proposal, because who in their right mind would do that? So he sends her to an insane asylum, and to rescue her, Todd tells Anthony to pretend to be a wig maker's apprentice, go to the insane asylum, because that's where they got the hair for wigs at the time, and to say that he needs the shade of hair that Joanna's hair is. So he goes there, rescues Joanna, and to escape, Todd tells Anthony to bring Joanna to his barbershop where she can hide from Judge Turpin. He also tells Judge Turpin by sending Toby a letter with this information that, you know, Joanna has come back and is really sorry for everything and wants to take the judge back. Obviously a lie, but the judge falls for it, comes back, and Todd slices the judge's throat. So at the time, Joanna is hiding away in the chest that Pirelli's body had once been in, also weird. Well, we can't tell if she definitely sees him murder Judge Turpin and Lucy slash the Beggar Woman. We can see that, you know, she definitely knows something is going on because he's holding a razor and is covered in blood. So is Joanna going to want to reunite with Todd if she finds out that he's her father? No, I'm gonna go with no. Of course, there are other themes in the show too. One that I mentioned was the theme of corruption and social hierarchies of this time period. This is particularly pointed out in songs like Epiphany, where Todd says he'll practice on less honorable throats, referring to the law and the judge obviously, but even to the religious institutions of the time, which include the Beatles' position. This is just Todd's way of saying that everybody deserves to die, because everybody's corrupt and evil. No one is innocent. Is this correct for Todd to think? No, of course not. The poor grocer down the street probably has nothing to do with Todd's fate, but for Todd, this is irrelevant. Everyone is part of a society in which this corrupt judge and Beetle can operate without impunity, and therefore everyone, even he and Mrs. Lovett, deserve to die. The idea of the musical is commentating on social hierarchies of the day. It's evident in the song Little Priest, where Todd and Mrs. Lovett talk about killing all sorts of people, from poets to bankers to politicians. Sweeney isn't supposed to be some vigilante hero righting the wrongs of society with his razor of justice or some shit like that. But the razors show us that Todd, who was just a barber with a loving family at one point, now wields this razor as a tool to destroy everyone, including himself. His need for revenge has corrupted him and, let's say, a soul on a metaphorical level. After all, he's the demon barber of Fleet Street, not just the barber of Fleet Street. The razors give Todd a power over others, but as they say, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Which is why I think we still side with Todd wanting to kill Turpin and Bamford, as those characters represent more of the absolute power of things. Alright, so I talked for a bit about this one prop from this one musical, and I could go into more detail, but I think I'll stop here. I hope you can see how effective this prop is at establishing the setting, showcasing character development, uncovering plot details, and some of the themes of the show as well. And there are, again, other themes in the musical, but I don't want to go on too long. There are lots of great props in other musicals that can establish the points above, but the razors and Sweeney Todd do such a good job at these functions that I had to include them. And unlike some props that might only be used in one scene or two, the razors are used pretty consistently in the show, at least when Todd is on stage. To me, they're one of the best uses of props in musical theater. That's it for this episode. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and check out the resources for this episode by going to takemetotheworld.com, clicking on the word podcast at the top, and going to this episode, which is 15. I'll be continuing this series on visual elements, but I don't have an exact plan on when the episode will be, so make sure to subscribe to be notified when that comes out. Thanks for listening and have a great day.